No. What a word that we come across again and again in our sutras and in the teachings. Does a dog have Buddha nature? A student asks his teacher, and Joshua answers, no. In the Heart Sutra, so many no's. From our readings tonight, when the Dharma body awakens completely, there is nothing at all. No bad fortune, no good fortune, no loss, no gain. Never seek such things in eternal serenity. Who has no thought? Who is not born? If we are truly not born, we are not unborn either. All things are transient and completely empty. And that's from Song of Realizing the Tao. We also read from Dogen, Buddha Nature, this evening. An ancestor said, "You have no Buddha nature. Learn and study what kind of moment it is when there is no Buddha nature." And one of the most central questions, of course, that the Buddha himself examined to go back is the question of the self. And it's important to remember that one of the most fundamental teachings of the Buddha was the teaching of Anatman, no self, no self. What is this no? A wonderful place of inquiry for us in our practice, and a deep, deep place of inquiry. So often we are tempted to move beyond this no into the realm of, but yes. Why not stay with the no for a while? Why not look into this teaching very deeply? In fact, why don't we start with the yes for a moment and move beyond the yes to the no? Yes. In a conventional sense, in a relative sense, we say things exist. This is the normal understanding of the human mind. I exist, you exist, we're separate beings. I can talk about me, I can talk about you. I can tell a story about each of these things. In the past, I've referred to this version of understanding reality as a conceptual map, or perhaps as a Google map. That does a nice job of representing reality, but is not reality itself. None of our thoughts can capture reality itself. And yet, we are so drawn to these big ideas about what we are. We like them. Especially if they are grandiose. I am the Buddha nature. I am enlightenment. I am the universe. Well, if you are the universe, why need the I am? Something extra there, isn't there? Why put the self at the center of it all? We take two and equate them and say they're one, but it's still two. It's still a misunderstanding. I imagine this student who approached Joshua and said, "Does a dog have Buddha nature?" There's so many ways to view this student, but I see him as a mature student, actually. He's asking quite a nuanced question. You can take it from the psychological perspective and say, well, is he calling himself the dog? Is he feeling kind of low about himself and ask, does even a dog like me have Buddha nature? But if that were the case, Joshua would probably have met him where he was and said, yes, even a dog like you has Buddha nature. This student may have been coming from a more arrogant place. I know that even a dog has Buddha nature. No, says Joshua, taking away his conceptual map, taking away what he thinks he understands. Yes, there are deep philosophical statements that we can make, and they're interesting to think about. The idea that your body is made of the rain, the idea that your body is nourished by the fruits of the earth and the air and the atmosphere. I've spoken to all these things before, and of course they're true in a relative sense. We can tell a story of who we are. But we should always remember that these are also just stories. And we get attached to them, and our ego wraps itself around them and wants to defend them. And this causes us to suffer. Because, of course, there are times where our sense of self does not feel like the vast universe, right? Sometimes we feel like a little piece of shit on the sidewalk. What then? Where is your Buddha nature then? Well, I just can't see it. Perhaps. Or perhaps we're stuck on an idea that is preventing us from experiencing something that is more alive than any idea that we might be attached to. Perhaps Joshua's no is a deep kind of liberation. A liberation from all obstructions. A liberation from our attachment to our ideas of ourselves. Sometimes I've spoken of the self as being like a rainbow, like a constellation of elements gathering together with no essence and no substance to it. This can be a kind of useful pointer toward a quality of our experience. Something without essence. But that's an easy idea to get stuck on too. Oh, I'm a constellation of elements. I. What did Buddha mean when he said anatman? No self. What if we invite ourselves into this no fully? No, it's not there. This is an invitation to examine. Not with the mind, not with the thinking mind, which can't help but equate things, this with that, inevitably dualistic conceptions. This is an invitation to look with the eye of practice. Why put a head on top of your head? Who are you? Who is sitting on that cushion? Who is sitting in that chair? And of course, the invitation in this beautiful piece, if we are truly not born, we are not unborn either. Don't get attached to grandiose ideas. They are not the Zen path. The Zen path is more down to earth. Just sit with head covered, not knowing who you are, not knowing what you are, and look and see what happens. Letting ourselves be the question mark rather than the answer. This is the source of our liberation. The freedom from our certainty, the freedom from the need to defend any sense of self at all. And as an idea of ourselves arises, an opportunity to drop in Joshua's no. Maybe we're scared that what we'll find if we do this is absolute nothingness. No. At one point, a description is offered, a translation of nirvana, the word nirvana. Neither this nor that. Such freedom in this statement. Of course, the mind wants to say, well, then what? Well, what if you don't answer? The power of the mind, the strong desire, maybe just noticing the desire to be the one who knows. Noticing the impulse of the mind to take hold. Tell another fulfilling story. So yes, of course, stories. Yes, of course, thoughts. Ways of constructing reality for ourselves that helps us to navigate the world, that helps us name the things that we as a species need to face and address, that helps us realize what constellations of relationships seem to bring about greater ease and peace and joy, and which constellations of relationships seem to bring about more suffering, to help us navigate this world and be of benefit to others in what we might describe as the storied world of form. And that never goes away. It's not our job to get rid of those experiences, those ways of seeing. And there is this possibility of opening right through them, of seeing through them, of opening beyond these stories, beyond the stories of I am this or I am that. Even beyond the beautiful stories that we get so attached to. I am boundlessness. I am all beings. Self and other the same, already extra. There is something unfolding that fits in no category, that language cannot describe. This beautiful possibility in our practice of allowing stories to just be stories, of allowing relative truths to just be relative truths, to be concepts that dance around, make their little show, have no fixed essence. Just see these as concepts, that's all. That's the path. Oh, that's another idea. This one's a beautiful one, I like it a lot. Wish it were true. Oh, that's an ugly one. This idea that I'm a little piece of shit on the sidewalk. I don't like that one so much, but here it is. And so they go. On and on. This wonderful possibility of meeting them with not dismissal or negation. The no is bigger than that. The no is so much bigger than a no that argues with an idea. There's no argument in this no. It's an opening. Possibility. A sense of the transparency of all of these relative truths. Course, impossible in a way to talk about here. Emptiness, non-duality. So we just put a word in there, don't we? No. No. Thank you.